Good afternoon, everybody. This is Alexandra Metters of GalacticConnection.com, and today is December 17th, 2013. Today I have a very special guest, and for all you Cobras out there, you probably know of her, and she goes by the name of Reiki Doc. Carla St. Laurent is a physician at a community hospital for 5 years, I might add. And she's been very, very successful in her career in incorporating Reiki with that. It's just really cool to hear her stories. And she's got such an extensive background. We will go ahead and put all the types of experiences that she's had in her medical physician life. But outside of that, we're all going to really want to hear about her metaphysical stance on how she kind of brings people from across the veil when they go under in a surgical procedure, how she brings them back to the 3D reality. It's very interesting. Born in Long Beach, California, she's been a straight A student, and believe it or not, her background was in chemical engineering, and she even did research in enhanced oil recovery. That's going to be interesting to ask her a little bit about that. But the most important thing about Carla that I find so appealing is being able to take the 3D mainstream medical system and incorporating the 5D and beyond alternative healing methods such as Reiki. And she is a Reiki master. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and start. Hi, Carla. Thank you so much for coming onto my show.
You're welcome, Alexandra. It's my pleasure.
And before we get started, if everybody wants to go ahead and check Carla's Facebook page, it is Doctors with Reiki. That's Doctors with an S with Reiki. And Carla, I would like to start out by just trying to figure out why you shifted from chemical engineering to becoming a physician. How did that happen?
It was actually the other way around. I always wanted to become a physician, but my father was a school teacher and there were three girls and mom stayed at home. So I was given the choice to become any kind of engineer I wanted to be. And chemical engineering was the one that met the prerequisites for entering into medical school. It actually exceeded the prereqs. So I went back to school and got my biology degree after I'd worked for a while, and I put myself through medical school. That's how I was able to fulfill my dream I've had since I was a little girl.
That is so impressive. You actually paid for your own education through med school.
Yes.
Wow. That's quite a feat right there. Congratulations. And it says here that you are certified in transesophageal echocardiography. Tell me a little bit about that.
That one was not easy to do. When we do cardiac anesthesia, we need to have a good look at how the heart is functioning and how the flows are going through the heart. And this is traditionally part of the field of cardiology. But since I did my cardiac fellowship, all fellows are encouraged to pursue further training in this ability. So I took the test, and I passed, and I achieved certification in that. It's a real honor. When I got the letter that said I had passed, I actually jumped up and down in the street.
Which anybody who knows you is not surprised, because you're just like a ball of joy and a huge beam of light. You're such a blessing for the community. So tell us a little bit about the Reiki. Did you end up jumping into that after you became a physician?
Yes, I did. I did.
Interesting.
I actually had a spiritual crisis of sorts because I knew I had psychic ability. It runs in the family. And I felt like I had this gift that God had given me, and I didn't know what to do with it. I'd been getting messages from my patients who had crossed over for several years, all through medical school. And I've been channeling messages from Our Lady. I call her Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, since 1992. And I didn't know what to do or where to go. So I went to go see a medium in the area. His name is Tim Braun. And while we were doing the reading, he would start telling me things he was getting from the other side. I'd say, well, you know, actually, this is what I'm getting. And as we compared notes through that hour, he realized, he said, you know, you're getting the same thing I'm getting. He said, you are one of these people that has this gift and you need to know how to use it. And so he recommended that I go see Ann Reith for 4 sessions, just 4 basic classes to learn, you know, the nuts and bolts of being psychic. And once I got into Ann's class, it was just wonderful. And she's the one who got me into Reiki.
Wow, that's awesome. I know that you are a phenomenal psychic. I mean, I have spent enough time with you to exchange fun messages that we both received from our Syrian lineage, I might add. But tell me the difference between just going with the Reiki master versus the Karuna Reiki.
Okay, what happens is Reiki is a form of energy healing. It's a certain vibration, and it works on the physical, the 3D body. But Karuna Reiki is actually a more powerful form of energy, and it's a little bit slightly different flavor, if you will. And Karuna Reiki medicine is directed more on a soul level. And so I actually work with people's souls while I heal with Karuna Reiki. It's a prerequisite to have Reiki 3 to take Karuna 1. But if you want to go past that, then you need to be a Reiki master.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was invented by William Rand.
Interesting. I've taken Reiki, but I didn't go all the way up. So tell us a little bit about when you are actually in a procedure, a surgical procedure, and you are doing your job of bringing them under, which is so funny. Where at that point are you actually speaking with their higher self? Are you doing it ahead of the surgery? Are you actually, you know, tell us a little bit about how that experience unfolds.
Well, one of the benefits of being trained in Reiki is your intuition skills go way up. And it helps me in the pre-op holding area at the beginning, because then I can adjust my energy to meet the patient's needs. A lot of times it's, you know, you're pretty good at working with people and reading body language because you've been in medicine and you've worked with thousands and thousands of people. You've done anesthesia so many times, all times of the day or night. But with the Reiki, I was really able to find the compassion from a deep source within me that was able to connect in a nice way and establish trust. And so the first thing an anesthesiologist needs to do above anything else is establish trust. And Reiki just helped me go way over the top on that part. Then as I go through Reiki and the anesthesia with my patients, they don't really know what it is about me that I do. A few of them, I ask for their permission. But usually when I give Reiki in the OR, it's under the philosophy that they want to have some procedure so that they get better. And I have a cart full of drugs, and to me, Reiki is another way to help heal my patients. I always ask for permission from the patient's guardian angel, who I can talk to, and I know if the Reiki is going to go into the patient or not. So on a short case, the Reiki my patient receives is just being from around me as a continuous source of Reiki. But on a longer case, and I've had several where the patient's stable and the anesthesia needs are pretty much under wraps, you know, a time in the case where somebody might be reading the newspaper or reading a journal, I'm able to go ahead and actually link into my patient's aura, and I can give Reiki to them. If there's certain kinds of monitoring or other things being done on the patient at that time, I can actually feel the electrical pulses from the neural monitors or some other things. It's an incredible experience to be connected to a patient in that way. Sometimes the patient comes out of their body and I talk with them. Many people have a reason to have disease, and I'll just talk with them very simply about, well, you know, how's that working for you? Or, you know, you can do it, that sort of thing. Some of the most common ones I get are people who have a horrible disease and they really want to check out, but their family members kind of are holding them back. And I always say, well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. And that's just from my heart to theirs on a soul level in this multidimensional space that I seem to go in and out of very easily. And I want to make it clear that my Reiki is much, much faster than people would have in a traditional Reiki setting. I can go through a whole Reiki treatment on a patient in less than time than it's taking me to answer this question. Everything's at a much different speed, and I'm always watching the monitors, ever vigilant, always participating in the surgery the whole time. If the surgeon says, tilt the table, I just pause on the Reiki. I do what the surgeon asks me to do. So I'm consciously participating in this process. So at no time is patient safety ever in any danger at all. For me, I can do it. If you look at an anesthesiologist, we can have a conversation about the Lakers games, and we'll still be watching all the monitors on the patient for their blood pressure, their heart rate, how the ventilator's going. We're keeping an eye on the surgery. We're watching the Foley to see how much pee is coming out. We're watching the IV bags to make sure that it's not empty. So we're the kind of people who are able to process and compartmentalize and multitask. It's our gift. And so for me, it's just one more task that I add in there for my patient's benefit.
Very good, Carla. That is fascinating. In fact, I was going to ask you, are the other surgeons that you typically work alongside with, are they aware of your gift?
Actually, they are becoming increasingly aware of it. They're okay with it. And I have one and his wife who want to learn Reiki from me. I also have a director of a breast center who gives the book Buddha Boot Camp to all of her incoming patients. So we're becoming more and more aware in the OR. The other people in the OR who are present, the nurses, several have taken Reiki classes from me. That's my passion, is to put Reiki and energy healing into the hands of conventional providers. We have surgical technicians as well. And then reputation has it that a lot of times if I'm alone setting up and there's somebody else with me in the OR, they'll either share that they have these type of experiences as well and that they've been more psychically open, or they'll say, you know, hey, what ghosts have you been seeing lately? I mean, it just makes for a more interesting day for everyone all the way around.
Yeah, I bet. And in fact, I was wondering, is that what has motivated you to step forward? I know this is a bit of a precarious predicament for you because you are so in the system, so to speak, and the fact that you're coming out here today, I mean, I really honor you for doing that because I know you're sticking your neck out of the 3D world and trying to bridge those two, you know, with the alternative way of healing versus the traditional, you know, surgical and slice and dice, as they say. Mm-hmm. Now, regarding the types of surgeries that you're involved with, are these cosmetic or are these, you know, trauma-based? You know, what type of procedures are you typically involved in?
I've done them all. Lately, I do bread and butter. There's some easier cases, some sicker cases. A sickest case I would do would probably be someone with a really bad bowel obstruction or some ischemic bowel on the inside, perhaps a ruptured AAA. I do neurosurgery, I do spine surgery, I do gynae surgery, I do urology.
Wow.
Head and neck, plastics, breast, orthopedics.
My God. So we're talking like emergency surgeries.
Oh yeah, there's add-ons all the time. There's cases where, you know, we save a patient's life. They would be dead the next day if they didn't have their procedure.
Would you say that the majority of the cases that you're working on are a bit of a life-death scenario?
Well, I would say that most of them are life and death, but not really in the shorter time frame. We see a lot of cancer coming through the OR, and it just, my heart goes out to these people. And how I kind of accidentally stumbled into this is when I was learning Reiki, you need to practice so that your hands can feel what disease feels like. And I thought, well, you know, here I am in the OR and it's going on and on and on because some surgeons are slow. Some cases are just delicate. And I said, here I am. I know the diagnosis. Why don't I just reverse engineer it and see what the disease feels like to my Reiki hands? And that's where I started to realize that there's a whole element of compassion and healing that you can offer these people who you can tell they're devastated to have the diagnosis of cancer. Some of them, they request me again and again because it gives them a lot of comfort to know I'll be there for any of their procedures that they have to have, that cancer might be controlling their lives. But, oh my God, I just, one flashed into me right now. Oh my gosh, this woman, I was finishing, I think, a cardioversion, and I went in to go talk in the waiting room to the wife, right? And this other lady who I barely recognized because she had like no hair and her head was in one of those wrap things, she just comes running across the room and she just like smacks into me and she's like, oh my gosh, Dr. St. Laurent, I love you so much. I'm so happy. I just knew I would see you today. And I'm like trying to figure out who she is. And I realized she was one of the extra super nervous patients I had had who had a cancer. And they had done the procedure for her and I didn't know how it went. And I asked her, how are you doing? And she said, well, actually it had spread, but she knew she was going to be okay because she had that contact with me.
That's fantastic. It's almost like you're taking medicine to a whole newer level, actually an old ancient level of having that bedside manner and treating them as if they're an individual, not just a number that, you know, you're processing through on a daily basis.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. So now going back to one of the comments you made, you said that you were seeing a bit of a pattern of some of the people that really want to kind of check out and move on to their next phase of their life in other realms or maybe a different form. But the one thing that's holding them back is their family members. So do you actually, are you capable of calling in the higher selves of the family members at this point? Is it a more receptive time to assist them with their transitional, you know, experience?
Well, I do that indirectly. There's something that's available in my lineage of Reiki called the transition symbol. And if there's ever a chance that my patient is going to die, whether I talk with their higher self or not, I give the transition symbol. And this helps make it the passage from one reality to the next smoother on not just the person who's doing the transition, but on all of the other people who love and support that individual. And it makes it better all the way around.
Very cool. Now, another question I had for you is, what types of patterns are you seeing amongst your patients when they do, you know, become anesthetized? Are you finding them to be affected by this time period that we're transitioning into the golden age?
That's an excellent question.
Because you, of all people, seeing them in that predicament where they're...
Yes, you know, actually, what I see, and this is something that is highly controversial in the Reiki community, but if you're a Karuna Reiki-trained person, you're working with higher guides hand-to-hand every day. It's part of a team. It crosses the bridge, really. And there are some instances where Spirit says, attune this person. And I do. I do it with the guidance of the person's guardian angel. And what happens is I open them so that they'll be able to either have more access to this healing energy. So they'll leave my OR Reiki 1 capable, but they won't know it.
That's fantastic.
And the reason I do it is because Spirit says it's important. Another area that's very active in my practice is obstetric anesthesia. And I give the transition symbol as these new children are coming out, both to ease the transition to family life for the parents and the newborn, but also because it's a big, fat welcome for all these beautiful crystal children and higher who are coming in. The children who have been coming to surface Gaia for the last 5 years and longer are actually very gifted, higher quality souls who have not been seen for ages and ages here with us. And they are the ones who are going to enter into the usher in the new the golden age.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, if someone was to ask you, what would be the difference with a patient after they've received your assistance through anesthesia and just a regular patient that goes under and has anesthesia, what would they say?
Well, actually, the person you would want to ask are the recovery room nurses. And they actually really enjoy my patients because they have less pain, they need less pain medication, and they very rarely have nausea. Now, then again, I'm treating all those conditions with conventional medicine, but that extra layer provided by the Reiki is very helpful.
Wow, that's fantastic. God, I mean, what a gift, Carla, that you are bringing this to the mainstream medical community. Now, you said that one of your desires is to be able to bring this out to the entire medical community as just a standard operating procedure, correct?
Yes, I see it like ACLS and PALS. It's just one of those things that's out there that's really going to help the patient so much that people who are inclined to learn it should have the opportunity to learn it and keep it current. I don't want to force anybody into anything that they're not ready to do. And for some people, you know, the Catholic Church says that Reiki is not good. Some other places say that it's, you know, of the devil. And I own that because the higher vibration of Reiki might make some people uncomfortable to the point where they might want to push it away and not accept it. But I find that for the patients who are seeking healing, it's a godsend. And I really think that it should be made available for all the people who are in need of it. Now, we have to compare this to where Reiki is in the hospital these days. Typically, in a large institution such as MD Anderson or Sloan Kettering or some other places like that, they'll have a complementary medicine unit that takes care of patients who are really sick. And they'll have a team of Reiki masters, volunteers who work for free, who'll come into the hospital as teams and give Reiki treatments to the patients. Now, studies have been done on this healing, and they have shown that it causes increased relaxation in patients with cancer. It is a subtle energy. It's very difficult to measure Reiki. If you were to feel my hand giving you Reiki, you would probably feel some kind of warmth or something coming out of it. But in the hospital, I don't think it's right that these Reiki masters aren't getting paid for their work, because they're really adding to the care and the well-being of the patients. And so in my perfect world, we'd have Reiki people coming in covered by insurance, plus people who are also doing the traditional medical care who are Reiki clued in.
So how are you going about this as far as spreading the word amongst fellow physicians? You know, how are you able to go about and spread the word without it, you know, flustering too many mainstreamers?
Well, you know, it's really tough because I have my haters. I have people who say I should get my medical license yanked. It's not like you can go publish it in one of the journals because it really is on the leading edge of medicine. And so what I find is just by local acceptance and word of mouth, I think that's going to have how it's going to happen to the physicians directly. We can extend that into the internet area, and I have many nurses that follow my blog and my Facebook page and Twitter. I have a lot of alternative healers who are like respiratory techs or other things, and these people are just, I have a beautiful hospice nurse I'm thinking about who used to teach nursing, and she just left to do hospice. I have another one who does hospice, so we're all starting to communicate together and form a community. And whoever's interested is always welcome to join this community and, you know, wherever their gifts are, to try to combine the energy medicine and the traditional healing that they do.
You know what? It is time. We are so done with the old way of, approaching the body as this mechanical, you know, thing that they're not incorporating all the other different emotional, mental, spiritual bodies.
Yeah.
And so, you know, which is a much more effective way of healing them. And I know that, and I can completely concur with you that when I'm doing the work that I do with the essences, I'm working with an entire table of healers and scientists, etc., that are assisting me in coming up with the perfect formula for that individual. It's very imperative that we look at ourselves as multi-dimensional beings. And even though that's outside the mainstream medical perspective, it's almost like we have a responsibility at this junction in the state of affairs with the world to somehow bridge that. And that's where I really am. I'm just so happy to have you on today because this is an area that's greatly needed. I mean, greatly needed.
Well, you know, Alexander, I have to ask you a question.
Sure.
Can you see the aura and the chakras and the energy or perceive it or pick it up on someone when you do your work?
Yes.
See, I can see it clearly too,
Now,
and it's a lot
I'm
of it's
not probably not as clairvoyant as you, but I can definitely sense it and perceive it. And they work with me in a completely different way though, Carla. It's a very unique way than you know, like a typical Reiki master or something like that.
Well, that's the part where I think the whole perception of the body is going to need to change because I think we're learning more about what the body is and what the energy system is. There's the work of Masaru Emoto. There's a lot of work in quantum energy healing out there. There's a whole new area of discovery just waiting to happen.
I agree. And you know what? What's great? You're on the forefront of that, darling.
Yes, I am. I'm hanging 10.
I want everybody to know that this is a huge step for Carla today. And when you have a chance, drop her an email and congratulate her because it always takes a lot when you first step out. I know what it felt like when I did my first interview with Cobra. I mean, I was just like, But anyway, getting back to you mentioned something about all the different types of cultural and belief systems that you might run into with the patients that are under. And, you know, they might perceive Reiki as some sort of satanic ritual or whatever. I mean, are you really running into that with their higher self?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. But you have
No.
to honor their 3D belief constructs, is what you're saying.
I always do.
Yeah.
And the secret that should put everybody's mind to ease is that if somebody's really closed off to Reiki for whatever reason, it doesn't go in.
I agree.
It just does not go. I feel like it's bouncing back towards me. And that's when I direct it to the patient's guardian angel. I've only had that happen twice.
Interesting. I agree with any form of healing, by the way, that if you are sending healing to someone, number one, without their permission, and number two, if their belief system is just not in accordance with that type of way of healing, then it's just basically a moot point. The you
Yes.
know, it just doesn't happen.
You know, where I have to add a little bit is that the biggest block I have to Reiki isn't actually from the patients or their higher selves, but it's mostly from some of the Reiki community that's traditionally trained. Because in the standard protocol, consent is very important, and some people who are leaders in their field won't even publish my information that I've written. I've submitted things to people because they're so ingrained into this. You must consciously ask a patient's permission first. And I believe that might have been useful at the time of Usui, but once you get it to the Karuna Reiki level, that combined with the soul level permission, which is always obtained,
Yes.
and the Reiki just won't go in if it's not welcome. It really kind of solves itself.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? That whole system has been set up deliberately by Source. because we are in a, well, we should be in a free will environment, but we're in this crazy matrix, you know, so everything's based on free will, and we need to honor that. We need to stand in our truth regarding that. But when it comes to the higher and best good of the individual involved, you know, it's very, very important to, you know, if there's some, see, here's the thing. If people are on that table and you end up being their anesthesiologist, that right there shows me that, you know, some dominoes have been set up, so
yeah,
to speak.
And you'd be amazed at the case cancellations and switches that end up with me someplace else I had no clue I would be. But then after all is said and done, I understand completely why I was needed to be there.
I bet, because there's a greater force than the two of us that's behind this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And the time is now. Now, you know, that leads me to my next topic with you, Carla, which is, you've obviously probably already read the myriad of articles and postings that are out there right now regarding the potentiality of the event occurring sooner rather than later. So what is your position on that at this time?
Sooner.
And how do you feel that, since you are really working heavily within the mainstream, you know, part of society, how do you feel that they're going to react to that?
You know, I think that when everything comes down, that everybody is just going to be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this happened, and let's just roll up our sleeves and get together and help.
Yeah, and you are also very involved in that as well. Can you tell people a little bit about that?
Sure. As far as like my work with the Cobras?
Yes.
Okay, yes. What happened is with the Prepare for Change group within the Cobra organization, we have gotten together a healers group, and I'm a co-chair. I'm with you on that, Alexandra. And we have organized people to volunteer to help assess what the needs are in their geographic area, and also to help assign healing to there. I've had a dry run with my Facebook page. I have an amazing group of healers that I'm working with who are solid, solid people. We have several areas covered. We have young people, old people, hospice people, animals covered, as far as people who are on the lookout for where the needs are going to be and where the healing is going to go. We have an incredible team that does distance healing, and they've already sent healing. I think there was something in Ohio recently, some other hotspots across the globe. We're on it. And so we're already functioning somewhat in that capacity. And people are just gradually getting used to the idea of reaching out to others and bringing in more and more in their area, so that when the time of the event comes, we should be ready.
This is great. And I really do feel like this is another reason you're coming out today of your so-called 3D closet. Is because we will need people like you at the time of the event. To kind of streamline and maybe smooth this out, so to speak. So how are you going about communicating with the people around the world?
Well, you know, I just have a special team of people I've pulled together. I've handpicked them. And we are just one component of many with the Prepare for Change Healers group. We have all the other volunteers who signed on through that site. And so mine just happened to be, you know, wherever they're from. I have people from Portugal, from Japan, many in New Zealand and Australia, Canada, all across the States, the UK, just amazing healers who just feel the need to bond with other Reiki people.
Well, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask you, getting back to the environment in which you work, believe it or not, I thought I wanted to be a surgeon pretty much all my life. And I started out as a bio major, but before that, I was working as a little nurse's assistant. And, you know, I was very surprised how to me, walking around in the hospital was a very depressing experience. And of course, I was very young at the time. But I was curious, how do you cope with the entities, because you're so clairvoyant, that are walking all over the place within these hospitals?
The living ones or the other ones?
Oh, I'm talking about the ones that have passed that just kind of hang out. I mean, you know, I mean, that is like, it's like the RIP place, you know, for...
We used to have a 6-story hospital, and when our patients would pass, we used to say they were discharged to the 7th floor.
But seriously, doesn't that get to you? I mean, because
I really don't pick up on many of them at all. But
that's
I do
good.
Have to say, if you look on my blog,
tell them where your blog is.
www.reikidoc.blogspot.com. If you look under the chapters, messages from my patients, you know, the patients that I have pass who are, you know, with me and pass around that time, many of them came back to me at my home with a message that they wanted me to write down. I have over 80 of these messages, and I published them one chapter at a time on my blog. And then you can get a real feel for what these entities that are around, you know, have to say. Most people want to have some kind of summary of their life, the most striking of which was a gentleman who was washing his floor. He had one of those beautiful stone alabaster floors, and he slipped and he hit his head and got a closed head injury, and although we did surgery, he died. But he came back and he said, you know, he said something about how he shined his floor so clean it was the end of him.
Wow.
And you know, there's a lot of philosophy to that. It's like, you know, you focus on one thing too so much, you just lose track of everything else, you know. The people who have had their organs procured because they were donors, they're always grateful that there's another chance that these organs can live on. And I always encourage those spirits when they come visit me. I say, you know, you can do a better chance of it next time.
That is so cool. Well, give us an example of a pearl of wisdom that you've gained from one of these messages.
You know, the most beautiful thing is that the love that this person has for their family members is so strong that they come back and they want to express that love, and yet they're ones they left behind aren't quite in the same spiritual vibration as they are now. It's really a big gap, and they get frustrated because they're trying to talk to their loved ones, and then they come to me because I guess I stick out like a sore thumb. and I feel their compassion and their love, and they just have this sense of wanting to make things okay and let their loved ones know that they're okay, and they just want that last connection. And so I understand through all my other training that if you get that feeling that your loved one is trying to reach you through a special song or a dream or maybe a picture just turns around, you know, on its own, it's really them.
I so relate to this too, because my father passed away in 2005. And I think one of the greatest things I did to get over that, you know, that huge void in my life, was I had a reading with someone who was able to pull him back. So I waited 30 days, and when I arrived at her home to receive my reading, to be able to connect with him, I had a million questions, which, gee, I'm sure everyone says, gee, we're so surprised, since I asked so many questions as it is. But anyway, when I got there, she said, wow, your father's been waiting for you. And I said, oh my gosh, I could just feel in my heart how excited I was to have this so-called reunion. Mm-hmm. And even though I was so full of grief, at the same time, it was without a doubt the biggest turning point in my life. He spent 2.5 hours, Carla.
Wow.
And he answered every question I had, because, of course, when you go through a period where you're losing a very major, significant person in your life, whether it's a father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, whatever, you know, it greatly, it causes you to assimilate memories in your life, but looking at them from a completely different perspective.
Yeah.
And then you see things that you didn't see before, or when you do see them, you see them in a different light. And so it creates a lot of questions and a lot of gaps in your memories. So, of course, I was just bombarding him with questions. And it was one of the most just a magical days of my life. And with that said, this is an area that we need in society. Because people are carrying around all this grief for the passing of a loved one, and they're actually kind of mourning them when they're just pretty happy to be hanging out on the other side.
Yeah.
So you're doing a great service there. I really commend you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So the loved ones, they really care. They do whatever they can to let you know that they're thinking about you. And if you do get the opportunity to go through a mediumship, then you see, when they pass, they have this different viewpoint. They can see all these solutions from, like, a really great perspective. And so they can give you extra guidance and wisdom from that regard, too.
Awesome. Do you think that you're just kind of alone in the position that you're in regarding other physicians being very clairvoyant, also being major healers? I mean, where do you think that our 3D mainstream medical system sits in that relationship?
Well, we have different areas. We have people like, there's a Judith Ordoff, I think.
Yes.
We have Carolyn Mice. They're medical people who are leaning more towards the new age type. We have some people like Dr. Mona Lisa Schultz, who wrote a fantastic book with Louise Hay called All Is Well. She's a psychiatrist who's just as wide open as I am, and she's doing active psychiatry research and other stuff by day, and then medical intuition by night. There are some ER doctors in Chicago I've heard of who are Reiki masters, and I'm sure they have all the intuition and other things going on, but they're just not really talking, you know, but they're teaching Reiki to people. And so I think I tend to be one of the more outspoken ones.
No.
Another one,
Dr. Lisa Rackett. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking with you, huh? But anyhow, Lisa Rankin, she's an OBGYN. She was a huge inspiration to me, but she actually decided to follow her heart and leave medicine. But she's a great person to follow online, too. So there's several of us out there. And together, we're just going to just keep doing our own thing until, you know, it catches on.
That's outstanding. So going back to your patients, can you share with us, you know, what was one of the most intense experiences you've had with a patient as far as, you know, maybe they were code blue. Is that how they say it? Code blue, right?
Oh, well, yeah, there's anesthesia is one of those specialties where it's long stretches of boredom interrupted by moments of sheer terror.
God.
And, when I get one of those sheer terror moments, usually my patient is turning blue. The air isn't going in for some reason or other. My knees are shaking. I'm doing everything I can to get the air in, and I'm calling my colleagues to come in for help. And they come around. Everybody's always come around for me. I've been very, very blessed in that regard. But you know, it comes close, and people don't realize what it's like in our day-to-day world. But I will tell you that after one of those moments of sheer terror, every drop of norepinephrine in my whole entire central nervous system is spent.
I bet.
And I just come home, and I usually fall apart when I'm at home and I cry. I need to take a bath, you know, if it's, sometimes I call my mom. It's just one of those things.
Would you say that you're also falling into the category of a medical intuitive?
Oh, easily, yeah.
Okay. And do you do these sorts of types of, I can't say operations, but procedures privately?
As far as the healing goes?
As far as the healing goes.
Yes, even today I had somebody online who requested a healing for me. Horrible abdominal pain. And I went into the aura by distance, and there were, surprise, surprise, some negative entities attached. And I've been trained on that recently with my spirit team, and I had them right there with me. And I went in and I removed these negative entities from this person, and I let that person know.
Speaking of negative entities, is that something that's fairly common in, when you are in people's auric fields, if they are in severe pain or discomfort through the surgical process?
There are few. You see, people don't realize it, but a negative entity can suck the life off of you. It's a parasite, and there's a whole specialty there. But let's say you have a negative entity that's taking the energy off of your energy body in your ovary, and you have surgery and that ovary gets removed. Your ovary's gone, but that entity is still there.
Good point.
And so that's an area of you know, healing that really needs to be taken care of. But there's a certain type of negative entity called the dark entity that usually travels as a major and a minor together in pairs, and they seek to cause pain and suffering in their host. And I had a conversation with that entity today, and it was like, well, it's so much fun. And I'm like talking to it going, well, what kind of game is that? You know, and it's like, oh yeah, I guess you're right. It's kind of stupid. It's like, well, it's just one only game. But if you leave and you go up to heaven, there's a bazillion different games you can play, you know? And that's the kind of a conversation that you have with these entities. They have a consciousness to them, and you just do whatever it takes to safely get them out.
So you're basically kind of coaxing them and sending them back to the light. Do they usually receive that? Are they receptive to that?
Some are and some aren't. And I work with my team on a case-by-case basis. I'd say 95% are receptive to going to the light.
Well, that's good. That's really good. Do you feel that one of the main reasons for disease and illness is because of these negative entities or negative vibrations that are attaching themselves to our bodies?
It is a part. It is a part. Some of the research I'm doing is actually our emotions and other things can lead to alterations in our vibration on a subatomic level. If those uncorrected persist, they can progress to regular disease. But then on the other part with the negative attachments and things, we have an aura around us, and it should be bright and strong like an eggshell. But when we have a really strong emotion or some accident or even just going under general anesthesia, your aura weakens to the point where there's enough hole that one of these sneaky negative entities that's actively seeking to join an energy system can get in and hook itself onto yours. It just takes fractions of a second for it to happen.
Wow. Now, they do say that when you have gone under the knife, so to speak, and you've gone through a surgical procedure, you're that much more open to these sorts of entities attaching themselves. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why I stand as a protective spiritual presence for all of my patients so that they're not open and vulnerable. I have them under my wing, so to speak.
You even mentioned before that people are requesting you, if it's like an elective procedure, they will actually request Dr. Carla St. Laurent.
Yes.
Does that happen a great deal?
It happens pretty often. Usually it's colleagues in the hospital who, for whatever reason, they feel comfortable with me. Then there's some patients that have heard of me and then they want me. I've had some request me because of Reiki, but others just request me because they really like my anesthesia care.
You know, it actually shows, Carla, that they really are getting it on a higher level. They just may not consciously be aware of why they're getting it. You know?
You know
what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to make a choice between, if I had to go under and I had a choice to choose you versus, you know, some of the other docs that I've had, there's no comparison, you know?
I know, but you know what? I've had some people who I won't name names, but they're really big in the Reiki community. And I did the anesthetic and it was hard. not just from a spiritual level, but just from a physical 3D level. It was not easy doing anesthesia on that case, but it was a special request. But then when I wasn't under their policy or whatever, and they got the bill, they never came back. I actually decreased the fee by $300. It's not like it goes to me. It goes to the group, you know, but.
Oh, that's so funny.
So Reiki can only get you so far.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, isn't that true of everything?
Yeah.
So how do you think that this is leading into this new age of Aquarius? Where do you feel you are fitting into all of that?
Well, I've got one foot in both dimensions.
So you're basically playing the bridge.
And I am comfortable in both. And I can talk shop with the medical. And I can take the woo and I can package it in such a way that the people in the medical are like, hey, that's cool. And then on the other hand, I can go out, hang out with raw vegans who think that doctors are the Antichrist. And then they're around with me for long enough, I never tell them what I am. You know, you go to these talks by some lecturer or something, they spend the first half hour bashing doctors. And then after a while, they realize, you know, I don't bite. And I actually care. And they go like, well, I guess not all doctors aren't so bad. So I kind of get it from both ends, but I roll with it. And it's really a lot of fun.
Well, as always, Carla, you are a delight to talk to. And I really honor you. You've become such a good friend of mine. So I'm honored that I get to interview you today. And I wish you all the best, because I know you are really going to make a difference in this very sterile 3D medical system that we have. You are making a difference, I should say. And I think we all owe you a huge round of thanks.
Alexander, thank you so much for having me on your show today. It's been a delight to be with you, my friend, and I look forward to all that the future has. I want everybody to know that we're going to do everything we can to help bring an end to the suffering that's going on right now. It's gotten way out of hand, and if you have disease, just hang in there and have hope. And whatever technology that comes, I'm going to do my very best to figure out what it is and help you so you don't have to suffer anymore.
I agree. And we are doing our share as far as gathering together the 144,000, excuse me, and through the implant removal process, which has been absolutely phenomenally successful.
Hooray!
Yes, and I know you've experienced that. Did you want to share with them what your experience was before we let you go?
You know, I'm such a super busy person. All I noticed is that things just got easier.
Yes, they do.
I didn't notice anything releasing. I didn't have any being stoned or anything. I just kept on going, but I find I can go better, and things just make a whole lot more sense.
Yeah, and I feel like even though there's a dramatic amount of psychic attack right now on the light community, I don't know if you've been hearing that, but there is a tremendous amount of it right now. They can't get to us. They might get around us, but they can't get to us.
Yeah, I see them getting other people around me.
Yes, me too.
And then I can see them acting out, and I'm like, whoa, because you see in anesthesia, when I give that sedation before you go to the OR, people start saying all kinds of whack, you know what I mean? And I just tell myself, that's the Versed talking. Well, lately with this new age, I see these people doing whack, you know, and I'm like, that's the negative entities talking. That's the Archons talking,
exactly.
You know, it's not them. And I just deal, so.
Yeah, I know. We've kind of taken the Archon thing and taken it a little bit too far, because everybody seems to blame the Archons on everything.
But if it's somebody else and it's out of character and it's really pushing your buttons big time,
yes,
I think it's a pretty fair bet.
Yeah, especially right now. No, it's at an all-time high. So I send all of you out there my love and absolutely my support to stand strong in your authority, to command your authority, and to not allow these people, these beings, I should say, to push us around any further, because we are all getting dismantled one person at a time right now. So until we meet again, Carla, thank you so much for coming on our show at galacticconnection.com. And if anybody has any questions, they can go and visit Carla's blog spot. Go ahead and tell them again your blog spot.
It's reikidoc.blogspot.com. Or Facebook is Doctors with Reiki. Or Twitter is at Usui2102.
Okay, cool. Well, you now have heard it from the master. Anyway, I love you guys. You are an awesome audience. And Carla and I just, we're so grateful to, and we're so honored to be here to serve and support all of you. So we love you. You guys have a great rest of the week, and we will talk to you soon.
Namaste.
Namaste, everybody. Take care.